This is a People First Radio podcast.
After years of planning and construction, people have moved in to a new supportive housing building in Nanaimo called Cornerstone. The 51-unit building is operated by Connective Nanaimo, formerly known as the Nanaimo Region John Howard Society. Residents at a temporary housing site in Nanaimo called Newcastle Place are being prioritized to move in to Cornerstone. The province says in a release that that will open up 50 spaces at Newcastle for people currently staying in the shelter system. Members of the media were invited for a tour of Cornerstone last week alongside Nanaimo MLA Sheila Malcolmson and Nanaimo Mayor Leonard Krogh. Also in attendance was Marlo Renee Mayers, one of Cornerstone's new residents. She spoke with members of the media after getting her first look at her new suite.
This is going to be your new room, right?
Yes, it is.
So where are you living right now?
Right now I'm at the Newcastle compound. What I call it, the compound.
How long have you been there for?
I've been there, I would guess about 3 years now. Mm-hmm. I think 3 years, Nora?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're moving in here on May 1st?
Somewhere between now and then.
So what do you think about the place that you see?
I love it. It's big. It's spacious. High ceilings, you know, you feel like you can move around, right? Own fridge, we get to cook. It's nice. A nicer looking building.
And before you were living at the last place, were you on the street or in danger of being homeless?
I was one of the ones on Wesley Street. That was quite the adventure. And from then, I was chased around the city by the city workers. And that was unacceptable, what happened with all of us. And it's a shame because there's a lot of people still out there.
Mm-hmm.
And
so how did it feel when you finally knew that you're coming
when
to
I
home?
When I got into the compound, I was excited, so happy. I ended up with two of the best outreach workers and one of the best bosses. through them, I've gotten a hip replacement, knee replacement, new teeth, glasses, hearing aids. I've worked my entire life, you know, and my mom passed away, and that just pretty much broke me.
Yeah.
So I started collecting cans, and COVID hit, and I started collecting them in my room. I had enough to pay my rent throughout the whole time, but the second the landlord was able to kick me out, he kicked me out, even though all the money he had coming to him was in his house.
Mm-hmm. So all of a sudden, yeah, you have no way to you have no rent to pay, but no way to pay it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. You know, so that was a shame. But it was a good community that we built on Wesley Street. It sounds strange, but we all took care of each other there, you know. When you spread the people out throughout the city, that's where you get more deaths, you know, and more issues, more people that are normal citizens that become dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So once you move in here, what are your next steps? I assume you're gonna take advantage of all the programs and supports.
Absolutely.
Here.
I've always been a worker and I plan on getting back to work. Probably back into construction.
Mm-hmm.
That was where I lived at the best. I was 20 years construction over on the mainland. I also did fireworks. But with my knee and the hip, I think fireworks is a little too much.
Yeah.
Too much running. But construction and maybe even counseling, working with the street people, getting more attention to the people that still need help.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because there's a lot of them and we need more of these.
So what would you say to the people at Connective, the people who are doing these programs, what would you say to them?
Thank you. You know, it's coming along, but there's still a long way to go. You know, there's so many people still out there. And I hate to say this, but the mayor has done us no good out on the street. He may be doing something with this, but out there, You know, if you want to invest, you want to invest in security fences and security companies. And that's a shame, you know.
Where would you say that money would be better put?
Into a properly ran tent city for safety reasons alone, you know. Groups don't die together, right? It's the people that are left alone that die. And you have so many vigilantes doing some really nasty things, you know, so they're in more danger. We're in Canada. I've always been proud to be Canadian, and it's shocking to see that this is happening here. You know?
And so a place like this, now you're inside, and
that's right, that's right. But we need more.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very grateful. I'm very, very grateful. But there's, you know, people out there with mental issues, all sorts of issues, you know. And I just I hope that we can help everybody. But it's a two-way street.
Mm-hmm.
They have to help themselves as well, you know. If I was also property manager here for a few years, and a lot of the people out on the street I've kicked out two or three times myself.
Yeah.
But with that being said, I also gave them chances, and 19% of the time it's because they're not paying their rent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Tenancy Act needs to be changed. And that's a good start, right?
Yeah.
Start there, make it better for the landlords and the tenants, because right now the landlords are scared to rent because they know it's going to be a 6 to 12 month process to get us out, and we know this. So the rents have skyrocketed. Regular families that work can't afford places right now, so there's going to be a lot more people out on the street, and it's not going to end until we end it, right?
How long of a process did it take you to get accepted here?
All in total, probably 4.5 years, I would say. I was on Wesley Street for majority of Wesley Street, and then chased around the city for about 4 to 6 months. That was hard. And then I came to this property where the 710 and the Samaritan was, stayed there for a couple of months, and then I was accepted into Newcastle, which was the beginning of the best. I've gotten so much help from the people there. Like Nora and Donna and Sandra are great leaders, and they get things done.
And what was the process like to get from Newcastle to here?
Easy peasy. You know, they came in, we had a bunch of tables in our rec room, signed a bunch of stuff, and talked to a few people, and boom, easy.
How long were you homeless for?
About a year and a half, I'd say. Just under. Yeah.
And what caused you to become homeless?
My mom passed away.
I'm sorry.
And I couldn't get up and do my daily job. I was in construction. I couldn't focus. So I started collecting cans, you know, get my rent paid. COVID hit. All the places shut down, but I still remain to buy people's cans, collect my cans, and that wasn't good enough for the landlord. As soon as he was able, he kicked me out, even though all the money I owed him was in my room. 3 bags high. I had about a 4 foot area that I could stand in.
You're listening to People First Radio. We're hearing from Marlo Renee Mayers, who is speaking with members of the media after seeing her room at a new supportive housing building in Nanaimo.
Do you plan to go back into construction?
I would like to, yeah. I loved it. I was in it for 20 years. There's nothing that I can't do from the framing on, and I'm good at it. The money's good. And with my ailments, I can still work. I just won't make as much because I was always paid by square, and you know, you get paid for what you put up. I loved it, and I'm very good at it. So yeah, that's where I'd probably want to go, because I see issues, you know, on buildings that I know where their problems are going to be.
What message would you like to the community to know?
Get to know the homeless. Get to know them. Stop and say hi. They're me, you know. Some of them might look scary because, well, they've been in the bush and chased around day after day. Get to know them. Don't beat them up. Don't light them on fire, you know. What kind of people do that? What kind of people sit behind a computer and rant about something they don't know? And that's what bugs me. Like, I'd like to highlight the homeless people, you know, like one a week in a magazine or a paper, you know, get to know your neighbors, whether they're homeless or not. And Newcastle has gotten so much grief because there's people that live in the ravine. Anything that happens down there is blamed on us. You come into our area, we do not have anything that's stolen in there. We don't have stolen bikes. We don't have a chop shop. We don't have, you know, we're checked at the gate. We're not strip searched or anything, but, you know, we're not allowed to bring in 16 bikes at a time. You get one, you know. They run it really well there. We've got a great leader there. She is compassionate, but very stern at the same time. And as long as you meet them halfway, they meet you halfway and farther. You know, like, my outreach workers have gone beyond their call of duty for me, in my opinion. Surpassed it. Like, I never would have expected what has happened for me. And this should be happening for everybody that's out there. But we do need some places that help the mentally challenged a little bit more, because those are the ones that are getting left behind, and that's not right.
Thank you so much for speaking with us. My name is Joe. I work with the community radio station. I guess the CHLY, the one thing I'm wondering is, what do you think the people running this place need to know, or what would you suggest is the best way that they can make this place a pleasant place to be for the people who are going to live here?
Don't treat everybody the same, because everybody has different issues and different things that they need. You know, sit down and listen to them, get to know them. There are some really great, talented people out there, but don't blanket us all under the same rules, because we can't live that way. We shouldn't have all the same rules, you know? Some people need more care, some people don't. I'm one without the mental crisis, but I have physical needs, you know, and that's what Newcastle does. They look at the individual, not the group, and they help the individual, and that's what's needed here. Get to know the people. Don't just say the old thing, because I said so. You know, when we ask why, it's because we want to understand why this rule is in place, or what, you know. Get to know the people, and you'll find that you're going to like them, right? And that's going to help everybody in the end. That's, I think, the best advice I could give, right? And be patient. And don't put up with bullshit, because there is bad behavior, and a lot of people will say, oh, it's because I'm mentally ill. No, there's bad behavior, and then there's mentally ill, and they both need to be dealt with differently, right? So they need the right staff, right? And Newcastle has the right staff. And that's important, right? So I hope the right staff are here, because it'll be a pleasant place, no doubt about it. And it's a step up, you know? You don't have to live here for the rest of your life. This is a stepping stone to get into your, you know, newer place. But at the same time, until they change the Tenancy Act or do something with that, it'll never change. right? And I've been on both sides of it now. I've been property manager and homeless. So I see the problems, I've dealt with the problems. And again, get to know the individual, right? The best advice I can give. And welfare has a rule where you don't have to have your rent sent to the landlord. Well, when I was property manager, I would not allow you to move in unless you agreed to that. And I had to be given notice by welfare if you changed that. Because that is where the property managers now get screwed, because they'll go in and change that, all of a sudden no rent shows up. And unfortunately, there's only so many bailiffs that work. And they end up losing thousands of dollars because of it, right? So change the Tenancy Act, start there, and you'll notice a big difference.
Marlo Renee Mayers speaking with members of the media after getting a first look at her room in a new supportive housing building in Nanaimo.
People First Radio, People First Media, and People First Stories are community media projects of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society and are produced in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed do not necessarily represent the views of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society or its broadcast, podcast, and social media partners.